and take what's going to happen lightly. If you're representing Jesus Christ, you should never take it lightly, and you should be prepared. So I did prepare. Of course, when Pastor Dave told me I was going to be up front, I was going to fill in when he was down seeing his family. 2 or 3 weeks later, then, when we're having breakfast together, he goes, "Oh, you won't be here for it then." And he goes, "No, I'll be back. And I'm going to sit right in the front row." And he's going to look over his glasses at me. So praise God, his wife has got him cornered back there on that row. Amen. So I struggled back and forth quite a while. And I wanted to bring a message of rocket ships going up and cute little computers that they sent the first spaceship to the moon on. And I gave this presentation to my wife, and my wife goes, "Your heart's not in that." So how many know that if you have a wife, she's a proxy for the Holy Ghost to you? You understand that? And you better be listening. So just think, we have a pastor that's very encouraging. I try to live up to those words, but it's only through Christ I could ever even attempt that. Amen? So the message I'm bringing, it's going to bring maybe some conviction, hopefully. It could be just for me. I hope not. If you can relate to part of it, it comes from the Holy Ghost. I bring no condemnation. Okay? I'm very aware of those verses. So if you'd pray with me. Lord, I just ask for only what you'd have come forth through me. I'm just a vessel. Something Pastor Dave is teaching us is, I think, the most important thing you're speaking through him, and that's being of a humble heart. And I think that's very important, because I never, ever want anyone standing at the pulpit to be receiving the glory unto themselves, because we stand up here by the grace of God. So I just offer all this to you and ask my dear, beloved family to just be patient with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it starts in Ephesians. That's the base of the message. It's called being gracious and being obedient. I'm not sure how we worded it, but it's not one without the other. By the end of the message, I hope you can amen that. So, the text is from Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 32. And let me read it with you. Hope you brought your Bibles. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, 29 through 32 is a memory verse. How many understand? Don't raise your hands. It's a lot easier to memorize the Word of God sometimes than to live it out. And that our testimony needs to be lived out. Amen? So don't ever think that I've got this mastered. I didn't want to give this message because I don't have it mastered. So I had encouraging words from the pastor. He said if we wait for everyone to be fit to preach that word, there would be nobody to stand at the pulpit. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ brought the word, and he's the one that gets all the glory. So 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you're sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. Amen. So my English teachers would be having a ball right now, because part of this is going to be a word study. Hello. I got the one-legged A's. You know what that is? I was passed through high school just to get rid of me. So they'd be laughing just like that right now. But here goes. What I learned is, anyone know there in James, if any of you lack wisdom, as a young Christian, I read this, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God and he'll give it liberally and without preferring one above another. Well, that means I'm entitled just as much as the next guy? Yeah, absolutely. Amen? So I lacked wisdom. What I found out when I gained wisdom is it wasn't about gaining wisdom. It was about learning who God is and what he has for us. Amen? Not to be smart and spout verses. The world hears that, and I think sometimes they cringe at it. But that's, I'll keep focused, Pastor. I'll keep focused. So the first verse, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So my sister, it says in the King James, a corrupt word. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Okay? So my sister, who likes to aggravate me, she's a strong Christian. But what does the corrupt word mean? What do you think that means? So it got me started thinking. Profanity is pretty obvious. That's the obvious one, isn't it? I'd call that a corrupt word. Then I started thinking about some other words, some other attitudes, as my wife puts it, some other attitudes. What about negative words? What about a word that brings somebody's countenance down just like that? What about that? Is that a corrupt word? What about slandering and gossip? Those should be obvious. Gossip? Not here, but I've gone to churches where we're ripping the pastor up out in the parking lot after the sermon. After you've given him the attaboys, you walk out and then have another sermon. You ever do that? Don't do it. It's done. Not here. Because the pastor brings the word. We operate, sports analogy real quick. We operate with the same game book. Same playbook. Okay? If you go and look on the website and you see the pillars of faith, it starts with the Word of God. It ends with the final authority is always the Word of God. How many times you heard the pastor say that? So when he was here last week and he was speaking about anger, he responded very well to it. I don't always respond very well to it. How about Christian slang, Christianese? When you replace a couple of letters to a cuss word and you speak it, and, well, I need something as a Christian so I can fit in with the world and I can be cool with the world, so I can say, it ain't this, when I mean it ain't this, and God's going to wink an eye. God's not winking an eye at that. Amen? We can do better. They're looking for little Jesuses in us. As soon as they see, I told you, it wasn't real with him. Do you think that happens? You think sometimes you're being set up just to see if you'll walk the walk, talk the talk? I got a good friend back there, and he says, if you're going to preach it, you better be living it, boy. Amen. So, focus, focus, focus. How about political hate? How about hating someone because they have liberal views? And I'm a conservative. No. Nope. Hate's hate. You focus your hate on a person that was created in God's image just like you? How dare we do that? It tries to even creep into our Bible study. By the way, it will not happen. It will not happen. If you put your trust in a government, you're going to get ripped off. Support them in prayer. Pray for them. We do in here all the time. Support them in prayer. Pray for them. And know who sits on the throne. Amen. Let's see. Let me see if I covered it. I should write more clearly. Political hate is dividing our nation. I came from the Vietnam era. And I asked my brother-in-law, have you ever seen things this bad before? He goes, yeah. He goes, in the 60s, remember what was going on? And there was a lot of hate. A lot of hate toward one another. It says in the Bible, it says in the scriptures, a nation divided against itself cannot stand. That hasn't been revoked, hasn't been superseded. We still are dependent on God. We need His word badly, badly. So, only what's supposed to, here's what we're supposed to be about, but only what is helpful. When you speak only what is helpful for the building up of others. The building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow, I better check a lot of what comes out of my mouth. Their needs implies putting others before themselves, doesn't it? Their needs. What's an example of that? Help me, Lord, help me. Jesus Christ, in the Gospels, before he was going to the cross, said there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his brothers. And that was before he was going to the cross. There's the example. Pastor Dave teaches about, do we need to always be right? Win the argument. You know, sometimes isn't it good just to keep your mouth shut? I'll tell you, if there's not many words, I'm one that talks and talks a lot. But someone that is a very few words, they're thought to be wise. When you open your mouth too much, it removes all doubt. Amen. Can we stay quiet? Can we be wronged and extend grace to one another? Outside of these walls, how do we react? If you're sitting in line or you're in line at the bank and someone's brought their coin collection for about 5 years, and do you remain loving? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. Believe me, it gets good. Sometimes you have to go through some real hard words to get where you want to be. Amen? So my notes say explain pointing a finger. So it may seem like I'm not a screamer, but it may seem like I'm pointing the finger. I'll point at Big Dave. I'm not afraid of him. He loves me. So when you're pointing a finger like this to point out the sin in someone's life, you see where three fingers are pointing? Right back at me. So you know the proverb teaches to remove the splinter out of your own eye before you go and look for the speck in your brother's eye. That's just good advice. With me, it's a log jam. It's a plume with them coming down the... No. Stay focused. I need the Savior's grace. I'm standing here in this need of the Savior's grace. I'm standing in need of His forgiveness, which He provided over 2,000 years ago on a cross. I don't stand here apart from the need of a saving Savior. Amen? I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. And I love that grace. And it is amazing. It says in the King James that it may impart grace to the hearers. Come on. Grace to the hearers. What does the world too often, or maybe even sometimes, see from us? I told you it could be just for me. But the word needs to be spoken. That's why I come here. The word's offered week after week. I'm not going to contradict the good word that comes every week. Amen? This one's very hard for me. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's heavy. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve the very one that... The Holy Spirit of God, part of the Trinity that holds all this together and will present me faultless before the throne. I want it to be with exceeding joy. Amen? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We're kept by the Holy Spirit. We're returned to God by the Holy Spirit. And it can be grieved. It says it right there. He can be grieved by what comes out of here. That should go straight to the heart. It does me. Right now, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you have your Bibles, look in Ephesians. I love this. Should be a memory verse. You know, we were singing the one earlier. Psalm 34. We did it in here as a memory verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. It's a memory verse. I fall short. Shouldn't be. If I didn't love you as my family, I wouldn't tell you that. There might be one or two sneaking out the door that needs to hear it. Come on back. So what's it saying in Ephesians? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. That sealing. You're sealed into the day of redemption. It's big time good stuff. This is good stuff. Okay, you there? Say amen. It says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed it, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, get that? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Guess who the purchased possession is? Amen? All our honor, all our praise is due Him. What do you think? the ceiling, now they're really going to laugh, my teachers. So a Greek word is spagizo. I look it up in a Strong's because I'm lazy and can't read Greek. You ever punch in Greek at Bible Gateway or something just to see a Greek Bible? Oh, I'll do this and I'll read the Greek words. Man, it's all Greek to me. So anyway, I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar, but I can read what someone else placed down here a long time ago. Amen? The king's ring, the king's private personal mark, has been placed upon us. That's what that means. His own personal king's ring. He sealed you. When you accepted his son, we were placed, positioned in the body of Christ, what's called the body of Christ. And God sealed it with his own king's ring. You can look up when Jesus was put in the tomb, they used their king, their Roman ruler's personal private mark and put that and stamped it in the wax and thought that would hold him. Hello. But anyway, God knows what he's doing. I've asked him sometimes, who's trying to pull the seal off that? Who's trying to pull the seal off? God forbid it's me. Someone will say, well, that sounds, oh, you're a Baptist. Well, you believe in once saved, always saved. You realize most of the time that's said as a put down. Set as put down towards your own brothers and sisters. Never in here, I know that. I tell them, you know what? Yeah, I believe in once saved, always saved, and I believe in once sealed, always sealed. I choose to believe it. So, gosh, I haven't gotten very far. So if I got up here and I went, I'm going to speak for 3 hours. Clear the exit. Oh, no. So here. What this means to me for that day of redemption. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Jesus is going to return in the clouds. He's going to return for his bride. Lorraine can tell you all about this. She knows these verses. He's going to return for his bride. And he will receive us up into the air. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive and remain will meet him together in the air. And there you will be with the Lord forever. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He's got it planned out. There is no plan B. Stick with plan A. That's a different sermon. Romans 8 and 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Is that worth an amen? Whoever's up here, you're not amen in that person ever. My wife's standing, I'm about a third of the way through. Okay. You're not amen in that person. God gets the amens because it was his true word that they're repeating. Amen's the same in four languages. Did you know that? In the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the Latin, and in the English. In the King's English, you hear truly, truly. Verily, verily. It's just saying true, true. True, true, Lord. You like that? True, true. So, okay, how many pages? I might have to be asked back again sometime. Okay, we come up to, there's two words that need to be explained. Condemnation, conviction. So, I don't bring any condemnation. Okay? Conviction, if you're hearing some conviction, that's the Holy Ghost. And you ought to listen. And your wife is Holy Ghost by proxy. Remember? So if she gives you a word, you better be listening. Condemnation comes from people and the devil and his minions. I can prove it in the scripture. Romans 8, verse 1. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Good? There's another one. I got it right here. So, honey, if you're standing up, sit down. No. John 5, 22 through 24. Okay? It says, for the Father judges no one. What? But he's committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. It's not a misprint. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Verily, verily, truly, truly, this is Jesus speaking these words. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, who you suppose that is, that's got to be the Father, amen, has everlasting life. Has is something you've already received, didn't it? Am I reading it wrong? Do I need to go back to my English teachers? No. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Amen? That's God's word. That's Jesus' own words. And believe it. Another word for judgment, Roxanne's not here. She'd be processing what I'm saying in Bible study. By the way, I'll make a plug for Bible study. If you're not going, please come. No. All are welcome. Another word for judgment, you could put condemnation in there. That they're equal with each other. Don't you believe? If not, why not? No. So I got to hurry it up. Okay, Paul. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Let's see. Can we read that together? Wow, I am skipping over a whole bunch of this for sake of time. Oh, well. It happens. Let's read this together. It's out of Hebrews 5, and it's verses 7 through 9, and it's being spoken about Jesus Christ. So, come on. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was, because of his reverent submission, Son, though he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Don't forget this last part, for all who obey him. So, it's about grace with obedience. You'll get a balanced word about grace in here. You'll get a lot of unbalanced words about grace other places. Not putting down other churches, but listen, grace without keeping what you know to do or keeping the law, they aren't 10 suggestions. Look, I'll look them over and get back with you, Lord. It doesn't work like that, does it? How many think it's a good idea not to steal? It says go and find a job so that you can help support others' needs. Amen? So, wow. The heart of the message is to walk in. We've been lavished grace and love in here, haven't we? having this knowledge of God just pouring from His Holy Spirit upon us, grace, wonderful blessing, time and time again. Can we extend that to somebody else? Pastor's always saying, in here it's easy, I love you guys. What happens when you go outside these walls? Does your countenance change? When you're on the job, does it change? So I got to wrap it up. I just want to say, if you want a good example to follow, listen to these young men and women about God, too. You can learn a lot. Let that calloused heart that's covered with calluses, let that be penetrated more in the Word. The songs that our worship team bring us, that's full of Scripture. Just start listening to it and tune yourself in. I'd say turn off your cell phones, TV. Do you realize all of them have an off switch somewhere? You may have to look for it now. But all of them have an off switch. It will profit you nothing. If you want to know how to succeed in the world for all the young ones and for the old ones and for the middle ones and the babies crying, how to succeed in the world. Remember, Pastor just taught about narrows the way. Few there be that find it. What the world values, what the world esteems, what the world holds up on a pedestal, what the world believes is important. If you do exactly the opposite of that, you'll be close to staying on that narrow path. Thanks for having me.